this Saturday, May 19th, I'm coming to El Dorado, Arkansas, for an event they're calling World Class Revolution. But people that know me know that I step in the ring, it's going to be an execution. See, I only care about two things, my freaks and my peaks. After I beat somebody up, I'm going to find one of my freaks and show her what it's like to be with a real man.
You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello and welcome to the only six-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is World Class Radio. I am your co-host, Jordan the Body Fox, and with me, as always, the man, the myth, the great black hype, Mr. Ray Cash. Ray, what's up, man?
What's going on, man? Good morning.
Good morning. I thought you was like,
yeah,
how you doing? That's what you said yesterday, so I was like prepared for it, you know what I mean? So we started off the show, as everyone just heard, and as Ray and myself just heard, we just got the man, Scott Steiner, addressing the World Class Revolution audience, because he will be at our TV taping tomorrow, which is Saturday, May 19th in El Dorado, Arkansas. We are absolutely just excited. Big Papa Pump, bro. What you think about Big Papa Pump? I know you were a big fan of Big Papa Pump back in the WCW days. Am I right?
Yeah, definitely liked him. Yeah, definitely. I think he might be the craziest dude in the world, and I mean that in a good way.
Right. I dig it. I absolutely dig it.
You know the thing about Scott? The cool thing about Scott Steiner is Scott Steiner kind of has that Brian Pillman.
He does.
That you don't know if this dude is legit crazy or not.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what he's going to say or do. And it makes you want to watch.
Absolutely, man. Scott Steiner, dude. I was legit scared of him. And that kind of coincides with what is about to be said about another guy on the show. And that is Jeff Jarrett, Double J. I was not scared of Jeff Jarrett, but I freaking hated Jeff Jarrett, bro. He was... I mean, the consummate heel, you know, when I was, how do I say this? When I still believed in kayfabe, we'll put it that way, before I was given the talk that certain things are somewhat going to happen no matter what, you know what I mean? I don't like using the F word, but before I found that out and was able to start liking Jeff Jarrett for what he does for the business, boy, did he make me angry.
Yeah, he's always done his job absolutely well. Jeff has always, say what you want about Jeff, positives or negatives, because he definitely has had his negatives over the years. But Jeff has always been able to garner the reaction he wants, and it just so happens that been primarily negative his whole career, and he gets it. He gets heat. I've seen entire crowds like wish death on this man. You know, so he definitely does his job.
That ain't no lie, man. That ain't no lie. I apologize for anybody that just heard a little. I was adjusting the microphone. You know, I'm still getting used to this new area that. Our number one fan of the show, Miss Karen Scarpetti, built us. Want to give a quick shout out to her. She brought me some business cards and She brought me some donuts this morning from Daylight Donuts. So big shout out to Miss Karen. Love you much. Some of the other people that's going to be at our first TV taping tomorrow, May 19th, 2018, in El Dorado, Arkansas, is Mean Gene Okerlund, Jack Swagger, the Von Erichs, Tatanka, the Arrow Club, Scott Steiner, like we talked about, Jeff Jarrett, like we talked about, my main man, friend of the show, Chavo Guerrero Jr., the legend, Iceman King Parsons, my son's least favorite female wrestler, Madison Rayne, because she got him so worked up at a live show in December in Indianola, Oklahoma, because he had a pouty face, and she was like, "What's wrong, little boy? You don't like me because I'm a bad girl?" And he was like, "Ah, I hate you." And she's like, "Well, so what?" And he goes, "Why can't you go away?" And she, like, did the cry face, you know, where you, like, turn your hands underneath your eyes and was like, "Why don't you go away?" Oh, my God. I thought he was going to cry. He was so worked up. From Madison Rayne, five-time former KO champion. TNA Knockouts champion.
That's amazing.
I know, right? Amazing. Katie Forbes is going to be there. The absolute nicest guy I have ever met in wrestling. I've only got to meet him once, but he was the absolute nicest guy I ever met. Trevor Murdoch, former three-time WWE World Tag Team Champion. And also, Tennille Dashwood, formerly known as Emma from the WWE, got the coolest aviator sunglasses I've ever seen. And she was a great heel too, man. Remember when she was doing that where she did the gimmick where she was like, Emma is becoming Emmalina, yeah. And then she came out in the nice prom dress, and then she was like, "Now wait as Emmalina becomes Emma," and just walks out and she's gone.
Biggest waste of time ever.
I know, right? And I was like, ooh. But she played it off. I mean, she did it. You know what I mean? Anything she's done it well, so I dig it. But we just wanted to give a big shout out to all our people at World Class Revolution. I will be there. So come out, check us out. I didn't mean to say those one right after another. Like, I don't figure people are going to come to the show to see me. I didn't mean to sound it like that. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be there, so y'all better be there. Get my autograph. Only $20. Saturday. Matt Sydal. Dude, I forgot to mention Matt Sydal is going to be there. Love Matt Sydal. El Dorado, Arkansas, May 19th, 2018, World Class Revolution's first TV taping is going to be dabomb.com. Let's take a quick break, and we will be back with some Tommaso Ciampa and some NXT review. All right, guys? And we're back, ladies and gents. So we're going to review some NXT. NXT comes on Wednesday nights on the WWE Network. It is Wednesday, right?
Yes, Wednesday night. Yes, okay. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock Central Time.
Sweet. If you listen to the show on a regular basis, you know that I do not watch NXT or 205 Live as much as I should. Now, I will, when I can catch it, I will, but I do live in a city in Oklahoma that's got less than 50,000 people in it, right? So because of that, and we live like 2 miles, 3 miles away from like the major portion of the city. So like my internet is not the best. So I got some HughesNet internet, and I've got like the highest package you can get. But still, when I'm streaming stuff, I only get about two or three weeks of good internet, and then the last week is complete garbage, right? So I try to space it out so I can have decent internet for the whole month. And sometimes that means that I don't get to stream stuff as much as I want to. And that's kind of led into over the years of just forgetting to watch NXT, not being able to watch NXT at a high enough quality that I would prefer. And it kind of got into me not following it really at all, and only watching the takeovers. So anyway, but I started watching, I'm trying to start to watch more and more because of how highly you talk about it. And a friend of the show, Mike Moore, talks high about it. And everyone in the IWC talks high about it. Not that I really take a whole bunch of what the IWC says to heart, but when it comes to what Ray, if Ray's complimenting something, I'm like, I should probably check it out. You know what I mean? So,
well, thank you, by the way, for you know, thinking that I have decent taste. I appreciate that.
Oh yeah, no worries. I mean, besides Roman Reigns, like, dude, you're on point.
I'm gonna make you a Roman Reigns fan yet. Every time.
I kid. Too sweet sign. Boo. Oh man, I tried to hit the microphone. I actually missed. That's how non-athletic I am. But so in my kind of jumping into the NXT, jumping onto the NXT bandwagon, where I kind of started following it little by little over the last few months, kind of starting with the NXT TakeOver New Orleans. That was where Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling, and Tommaso Ciampa had their match, correct?
Yes.
And yes, ever since then, I went back and I tried to watch every single bit of the buildup that I could to that match. And I have figured out that Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano are my absolute two favorite people in wrestling, in WWE/NXT. That is, those two guys are absolutely incredible. What are your thoughts on those two guys, Mr. Ray? What say you?
If you were to, if you could play Wrestling God, right? And you could create any person you wanted from scratch, like build a person from scratch. If you wanted to build the perfect heel, it would be Tommaso Ciampa. And if you wanted to build the perfect babyface, it'd be Johnny Gargano. They are literally perfectly built and bred for the roles that they have acquired in NXT. Their story is one of the most compelling we've seen in years because it's real. It's understandable. You know, their chemistry is off the charts. And, you know, one of the overwhelming positive things about wrestlers who have worked the indie circuit for a long time then come to WWE, one of the positives is, whether or not you know the WWE style or not, if you're able to get the WWE style with that knowledge, you're so far ahead of the curve in how to manipulate a crowd. And if you watch the way those two guys manipulate crowds, Johnny Gargano's not a compelling talker, but anything he says, people love it because they care about him. You know, anything they do, you know what I mean? Anything either one of those guys do, whether it's positive for Johnny or negative for Ciampa, people eat it up because they've earned that with the crowd. And it's a very rare feeling of what they've earned. Like, all wrestlers earn a reaction, but they've earned something that very few people are able to achieve with the crowd. Now, there's not a word for it, but what they've been able to do for essentially, if you really want to be technical about it, which is, you could say, has been the better part of a 2.5 year angle, because we all knew that this was going to end at DIY. Their tag team partnership was going to end with Ciampa turning on Johnny. We knew that. But the beauty of wrestling is when a story is told right, that even if you know something's going to happen, you get worked. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Just like the little subtleties of stuff, like three times in a row, the takeover is ending, and they show the takeover ending screen at the bottom right saying that show's over, and then Ciampa comes out and attacks them. And every time we know it's going to happen, but we forget. You know, just because the story is so well told. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, you could literally argue that the five most over the five most popular and the five best talents in the entire company, WWE main roster included, are in NXT. Ciampa, Gargano, Cole, Pete Dunne, and Aleister Black. And then I didn't even mention Ricochet and Velveteen Dream. It's ridiculous, you know, how much talent NXT has. It's crazy.
I am. I'm going to reference this article that was written on by Michael Brown on thechairshot.com. And this actually, believe it or not, as you know, we are on the Chairshot Radio Network, and I work for thechairshot.com. But I just want to say this actually was not meant to be a plug, because I was looking for articles about Tommaso Ciampa, and I Googled Tommaso Ciampa old school heel, and literally the first website that popped up was this article written April 18th, or posted April 18th, by a guy named Michael Shea Brown. I don't know. I'd have never met Mr. Brown here, but from the Chair Shot. So it was just coincidence that we're on the Chair Shot Radio Network and this Chair Shot article popped up. But this article, and, you know, as I said, I'm not a big NXT guy, or I haven't been in the recent past, so I've been slowly but surely trying to learn more and more. Well, this guy talks about how Tommaso Ciampa is an old-school heel. And by that, some of the stuff that he references in this is he doesn't sell merch. And he legit does not get cheers. Like, it's all boos. You know, where most fans, and sometimes that ruins the show, by the way, and we'll talk about that in a minute. To me, it ruins the show to me. But most smart fans, I put that in quotations, will prefer sometimes to cheer the heel. I don't know if it's to take over the show or just to show that they're smart or what, but they cheer the heel.
Well, that's just society.
Okay.
I feel like the reason we cheer the heel is because everything seems to always come back to Roman Reigns, but the same reason people want Roman Reigns to turn heel is because when you're a heel, you're allowed to have creative development, right? You're able to build a rapport with the crowd that allows you to tell the story better than just saying, I'm going to go out there and fight because it's the good thing to do, and hooray, you know? That's why there's so few career babyfaces. You know what I mean? There's
right.
so few career babyfaces because it's really hard to just go out there and just be good all the damn time. You know, the best babyfaces are guys that have had a heel run first.
Yeah.
Because that heel run has allowed, something about their heel run allows them to be endeared to the crowd. And that's, you know, so that's in this, and plus, you know, with wrestling fans, a lot of the times we do the opposite of what people want us to do just because that's what we do.
Right, right. But when it comes to Tommaso Ciampa, and this is what I was going to get at, was, dude, there's not people out there cheering this guy. So he's getting legit heat, and like legit is not selling merch, at least not on WWEshop.com.
No, he's not selling it anywhere.
Is he not selling it anywhere?
Possibly the coolest shirt in the company.
Yeah. Won't sell it. So I say all that to say, would you agree with, for the most part, what I just outlined that this article is talking about? Would you agree that he is an old school style heel? And if so, is he the only one in WWE right now, or do we have some other ones?
The problem I have is that we have to use the term old school.
When it should just be heel.
Just what a heel is. Every heel should be detestable. Every heel, and there's different levels of detestable. Every heel doesn't have to be I want to kill you detestable. Some heels can be funny heels that we laugh at them, but we still don't like them. Some heels can be delusional heels, like kind of like what Miz is. Or if you... since we're reviewing NXT, there's a guy who wrestled at NXT we'll talk about by the name of Kona Reeves. He's delusional, you know? So there are different types of heels. I don't want to make it seem like everybody needs to be the same type of heel, but the point of a heel, essentially, is to not be liked and to get the babyface over. And there's always going to be, you can always play with, you can kind of play with the alignment a bit you know, and which is fine. I don't mind that. But, you know, we've gotten in an age where heels want to, the heels of today want to do cool things still. Tommaso Ciampa don't give a darn. I caught myself. I'm Mason.
What's up, Mason?
Doesn't give a darn about doing anything that makes you guys like him. You don't care. And so, yes, he is absolutely, everything you said is absolutely 100% correct. He is truly a heel, old school as we call it nowadays, in every form of fashion. He comes out with no music. He fights with the crowd every chance he gets. The way he wrestles, he doesn't do high spots. Everything about the guy, it's true. He has the creepy smile he has, and then that wave.
Oh my god!
That wave is just is one. Everything about it is wonderful. You know what I mean? Like, and it's, you know, and you know, the best heels are the ones who are actually the just like villains in comic book lore. The best heels and villains are the ones who are heroes of their own story.
Right. That's a good point, yeah.
Thanos, if you watched Infinity War, the reason Thanos was such a good heel was because, as convoluted and as evil as it may be, he had a point. He was trying to do good. He just didn't realize that he realized, he didn't care, that the good took him down such a bad road. In fact, he said, and this is a direct quote in the movie, it's not a direct quote, but it's basically, I'm paraphrasing the quote in the movie, but he said, "I'm the only one who can actually bear the weight of what has to be done. It has to be me." So if you think about it, Tommaso Ciampa was never a tag team wrestler, tagged with the guy that he might not want to tag with, just to get into the WWE, had some success. Dude beat him in the Cruiserweight Classic when that was his opportunity to go back singles, dealt with it, became his best friend, became his best man, lived with him and the dude's wife for 2 years, wrestles every night, gets injured in the match, gets injured before a match, gets further injured in the match, and keeps going, and all people can chant is Johnny. Then he comes back from a tremendous injury and nobody cares, because everybody cares about Johnny. He's, in his mind, he's a good guy. In his mind, he's right. You know what I mean? So that's what makes it so much better, because he's doing things to antagonize Johnny. But in his mind, he's not antagonizing. He's just asserting his dominance because he's better.
I absolutely love it, man. Just to top it all off, this is what makes me laugh, is I'm always joking about, with my wife, about naming our next child Tommaso Ciampa, or Tommaso.
That's hilarious to me.
Is that not funny? See, my wife is a full-blooded Italian, obviously, so is my mother-in-law, so is my father-in-law. They're full-blooded Italian. They're, I believe my mother-in-law's grandparents were born in Italy, if I'm not mistaken. It could be your great-grandparents. I'd have to double-check. Karen, I know you're listening because you're the biggest fan of the show. We love you. So anyway, shoot me a text whenever you hear this and tell me if your grandparents were born in Italy or America, because I can't remember. She's told me before, but I can't quite remember. But anyway, so my wife's talked about when we have more kids, and she's talked about using like Italian names. Like, her uncle's name is Dominic, which is also her grandpa's name. Her other grandpa on her dad's side was named Angelo. So,
Vincenzo, stuff like that. Like,
right, real right.
Italian type stuff.
Always ending in vowels, it seems like.
Yeah,
for the most, for the most
like,
part.
Yes, it seems like, yes.
And
good point.
Yeah, so I've been telling her the last couple weeks, maybe month or so, I'm like, dude, we could use the name Tommaso. And she's like, get the heck out of here. I don't want to hear this crap. I don't want to know nothing about wrestling. And I'm like, it doesn't have to be about wrestling. It's just the name, you know? So, you know, just putting that out there. My wife, she's going to listen to the show as well. So, baby, you know, just putting that out there. You want to know something funny, Ray, before we go on to reviewing NXT? So I'm watching NXT this morning, and my wife's fixing her hair. And I get up, and it's right after the Tommaso segment, so I pause it, and I'm getting some coffee. And I was like, hey, babe, I was just telling, or I was like, I'll be on the show at 7:45 with Ray. And I was just messaging him to tell him I'm going to be a little bit late because I'm finishing this up. And I was like, but hey, we had been talking about Tommaso before that. But I was like, but anyway, we should definitely name our child after him. And I'm talking about Tommaso. And she's like, name our child after Ray? And I'm like, what? We were so not on the right page. But I was like, yeah, we should name our child after him. And she goes, after Ray? And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? But yeah.
I mean, I'm about to get that, you know?
Yeah. But anyway, I just thought that was a funny story. But anyway, so, and I asked you before we started this, when I was pulling up my notes and stuff, I read someone had wrote Tommy Entertainment. And so I asked you, I was like, so do people call him Tommy Entertainment, like in contrast to Johnny Wrestling, which is his biggest foe? And you were like, hell no, no one calls him Tommy Entertainment except for himself. And I was like, that makes it even better, doesn't it? And you were like, 110%. It makes it so much better that no one uses the name but him. So I absolutely love it. And the only reason I'm not going to call him Tommy Entertainment is because I want to treat him like the real heel that he is. And I want to try so hard not to like him. Does that make sense?
You know what? It makes perfect sense. You know what another thing he does that is just, you know how heels just find these small little minuscule details, but they just piss you off?
Yeah, right,
like,
right.
Like, let me give you a perfect example. Like, the way JBL used to wear that towel underneath his jacket just pissed me off. I don't know why. You know what I mean? Just little things like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or when Bobby Roode was a heel, the way he would rub his feet on the apron just pissed me off. I don't know why. You know, little bitty things like that. The way Tommaso Ciampa doesn't tweet people. Instead of using the at sign, he types at. So say if he was going to at you, it wouldn't be at Fox the Podcast. It'd be AT Fox the Podcast. Like little stuff like that. It's hilarious to me.
Oh my God, I've never thought about that. How genius is that?
I'm telling you, man. And he said, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I believe when he first started doing it, he said that people didn't deserve to actually get at it, so he was just going to add them that way, something like that. Like, he's so ahead of the game right now on this heel game.
Oh my God, that is genius.
Oh man, it's so good.
That
it's
is so good. Absolutely genius, bro. I've never thought about that. Oh man. Sorry, I was grabbing my coffee cup. But anyway, so we'll finally get to the NXT review. I just, I have been wanting to talk about Tommaso Ciampa for a long time. I have probably mentioned Tommaso to you probably half a dozen times. Have I not? Just different, whether it be a question or asking if we can talk about him on the show soon or just a whole bunch of just random stuff. I've been asking you about him for a while, and you've been giving me tidbits here, tidbits there, and you've told me a couple of times, like, dude, he's so unique to what the rest of the wrestlers are today that you just kind of have to watch. Like, words can't, like, really fully describe. I know you've told me that at least once, you know, of how good of a heel that he is. And I'm just like, so I've just, you know, like I said, at NXT TakeOver, I tried to catch every second of the buildup to the Tommaso Ciampa Johnny Gargano match, and it was heaven on earth, bro.
Can I tell you another real small thing about Tommaso Ciampa before?
Bring it, bro.
You know, character development is really important in why we care about these guys, right?
Right.
It is, again, I don't want to keep bringing the Roman Reigns, but he's just so relevant. This is part of the reason why people probably don't like Roman, because he hasn't had the strongest character development. But when it comes to Tommaso Ciampa, and I'm not the type of guy who likes to think that wrestlers don't carry over their same gimmicks from other shows or other companies, right? So, like, just because you're another company, as long as you're playing that same character, whatever you did before is somewhat canon. Somewhat. So Tommaso Ciampa, before he came to WWE, he was known as the Sicilian Psychopath. Right? That was his nickname. Because
right.
he was wild and did crazy things and was a bit of a loose cannon, if you will, right? Fast right. forward to now, he moves extremely slow. Everything he does is tremendously thought out. You know, so I like that kind of that really strong contrast to his past. And I would like to think, this is just me fantasy booking now, I would like to think it's because he knows better. He's always going to be that guy who has that rage in him, as you can see in his eyes when things are going. Like when he's wrestling or when he's mad, you can see him about to lose it. But he realizes now, this is the man I have to be to get what I want. It's character development, man. Just a little character development there that I noticed, and I don't even know if it's relevant. But it's just the little things. You know, I truly believe that when somebody does something well in a medium in which you enjoy, they deserve, you need to give them the praise. Because if we're going to criticize them when they do bad, we got to give them praise when they do right, right?
Absolutely.
And every aspect of his heel run. Think about this. Has it hit your mind? You know the man wears camo pants now?
Right. I noticed that today. Is there a reason for that, or?
What do you equate camo with? Mr. Veteran?
Well, yeah, military.
He's always at war.
Genius.
Everything about him is thought out.
Genius.
Everything about it is thought out. Why else would he wear camo?
I love it. I absolutely everything freaking about him love is thought that.
Out. Every aspect of what he does is thought out. Just you watch the match at TakeOver. Right? The whole reason, everything, they built 15 minutes of the match to a spot with his knee brace.
Right.
A knee brace. They built a spot around a knee brace. Who does that?
Oh, I love it.
So yeah, but let's talk about the show.
Let's talk about it.
We could just gush over Tommaso all day, but we got business to handle. Let's talk about the show.
Right. Well, I gotta call him it at least once, man. Tommy Entertainment starts off the show. He comes out. Actually, Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling's music plays. Last question: is there a name for that face? The logo of Johnny Gargano, is there? I don't, you know, sometimes people name stuff like that. Is
it just? I always just call it the emoji face, but I'm sure there's an actual name for that emoji. I don't know what the name is. I've just always called it the emoji face.
Gotcha. So Johnny Gargano's emoji face is up on the Titantron. His music is playing. The crowd's going crazy. He gets a big pop, and then out walks the Sicilian psychopath, Tommaso Ciampa. Yeah, go for it.
You do know, if you listen to the music, that the name of Johnny Gargano's music is called Rebel Heart, right? Okay. Listen to the music, you realize that it's just a remix of the original DIY music, right?
Well, see, I don't know. I have not been able to go back and look at some DIY stuff yet, so...
Okay,
so Rebel I wouldn't have noticed that, no.
Okay, so I'm going to give you some just a little deeper in. Just to explain to you...
Bring it.
Just explain to you how deeply Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, and Triple H have dug into this feud. At the Cruiserweight Classic, the original one, well, it's only been one, but at the Cruiserweight, it's just been one. At the Cruiserweight Classic, the final first round matchup was Gargano versus Ciampa. And it was probably the biggest match of the first round because one, both of them were on WWE television, two, they're a tag team. An established tag team on NXT television, right?
Right.
So, being that they're a tag team, they can't have the same music. They can't come out to the same music. So, they gave Gargano a stripped-down instrumental version. Well, their music was technically instrumental. But a stripped-down, different version of the DIY music. Kind of like you when you hear his music now, you hear a little 8-bit in it, like 8-bit like the Mario video games. It was kind of like that.
Right.
Y'all passed something completely different. Fast forward to DIY breaking up. Johnny came out to the DIY music still for a few months. And it was the reason he finally got his own music and everything different was when he was finally prepared mentally to move on from DIY. This was all while Gargano's injured. I mean, while Ciampa's injured. And it's this new music now. But the new music is genuinely just a remix of the original DIY music, which is why it even further pisses people off that Ciampa just beat up Gargano a couple weeks ago and sent him to the hospital, right?
Right.
And now it's going to come out to Gargano's music, but it reminds us of what he did not just a couple weeks ago when he broke up our favorite tag team because the music sounds so similar. Just even more character, just is just adding more layers to the story.
I love this, man. I absolutely love this.
You have a feud here on. Is this our Ray Fave moment of the day?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. I forgot. I should have said that. Hashtag Ray is kayfabe. We should have said it. No, actually, we're gonna back up to. I'm gonna put it in the description when we talk about. It's gonna say, why does Tommaso wear camo pants? Hashtag Ray is kayfabe. Because that was the kayfabe minute of the day, brought to you by World Class Radio. Absolutely love it.
Please go ahead. Continue. I just wanted to point that out again, because you know how you notice little details,
right?
These are the details I notice.
I dig it, man. I absolutely freaking dig it. And this is like that's like my thing. Like we talked about that just yesterday on the show, or it might have been Wednesday. Whenever we were talking about Billy Kay and Peyton Royce.
Yeah, when they were backstage.
When they were backstage, but it was made to look like they were in their house, which I thought was an awesome touch. But you could tell like some of the props in the background were obviously fake. And I was just like, you know, it's not a big deal. It's just little, I noticed little things like that and then little character things when I watch wrestling for a while. And so it was cool that you do something similar. And mention the Tommaso stuff, because now I'll be on the lookout for that stuff. So it's really cool. Really cool. But anyway, oh, I do have one more question.
Yes.
So was Tommaso and Johnny Gargano, were they friends a long time ago? Have they been best friends? Because I thought in the build-up to NXT New War or TakeOver New Orleans that they said something about 14 years. Have they been friends for 14 years, or was that referencing how long they've just been in wrestling?
Probably referencing how long they've been in wrestling. They've never, I don't remember that they've really had a lot of run-ins before they got to NXT.
Got you. But once they were in NXT, once they got to NXT, yeah. They were tag team partners, they became best friends, yada, yada, yada.
Well, yeah. So Ciampa spent the majority of his time for NXT and Ring of Honor. Johnny literally did the indie circuit. Like he was Mr. PWG, but you know, as we know, PWG doesn't have a television show.
Right.
So he would do the shows and then do every CZW and every indie there was to do, he did. They both started NXT as, I don't want to say enhancement talents because they weren't jobbers, but they were basically the guys they bring in to have matches with their existing guys, singles. And they got an opportunity to tag together in one of the Dusty Classics, and they lost. But I think they won one match, but then they lost. But that's how they originally started tagging together. It was just an opportunity to hopefully get them signed.
Gotcha.
And then they got signed and they realized they had some chemistry. Now, were they probably friends in real life? I'm sure most of these guys are friends in real life.
Right, right.
So I'm sure they were cool, but like their friendship like really blossomed just in the time that, in real life, not just on camera, but in real life, in the time that they've been tagging together.
Gotcha. Cool, I dig it. I dig it. And I do know that they did become best friends.
Oh, yeah.
And I assume
they say that they live together, they really live together. That's not fake. That's real.
That's cool. And I'm sure they still are best friends, but there is times that in that build-up to NXT TakeOver where I was watching, and I was like, man, I kind of wonder if there is animosity between these guys, if something happened in real life, and that's why they split them up and doing this. I researched it. It was not true. You know, my thought was, you know, incorrect. They are still best friends. But for me to be seriously questioning that, that shows, I mean, just how compelling this storyline has been. Does that make sense?
I'll go you one further. For this to still be the hottest storyline in probably, arguably, in the entire company of WWE, main roster included, and they had to put it on hold for 9 months, and it's still that hot, goes to show you how good it is. I mean, the storyline was furthered while Ciampa was injured by simple things like Zelina Vega would throw a DIY shirt at Johnny Gargano would cause him to lose.
I seen that in the build-up. Oh, yeah, it was crazy.
I'm just, like, literally the smallest details. I mean, I've never seen a feud in my life with maybe Sting versus NWO. I'd have to think about it.
Right.
But I can't think of very many feuds to where one guy could literally be gone for like almost a year and the feud stays so hot.
It gets hotter.
I can't think of many.
No.
And I say Sting in NWO, but Sting was on Metro every week.
Right. He would be there at least once a month up in the rafters and stuff like that. Like you would always
Yeah.
So should Triple H and the rest of the creative team for NXT be getting just as much kudos as these two guys? Because, you know, they're writing the storylines. Now, Tommaso and Johnny are going out there and executing them and taking it to the ultimate limit. But, I mean, Triple H and the creative team are, what gives the outline for the stuff, right? So should they be getting just as much kudos as the two performers?
I don't know if we should say just as much, because a lot of what they've done could be argued that it's the best things that they've done could be argued that it's
ad-lib.
That it's maybe so.
Gotcha.
But yes, they definitely deserve credit. But I think that we know WWE is heavily scripted. NXT is a little bit less because Triple H really runs his company like Andy. But it's a little less scripted. They kind of let guys go out there and kind of have freedom, if you will, a little more freedom than you would have on the main roster. But yes, they deserve some praise, and I have not heard one person give NXT Creative any praise for this, because Johnny and Tommaso have been so great, you know, and they're lifetime indie guys that I'm sure people were thinking, well, they came up on their own. And for all we know, they probably did. But if it's one thing that Triple H has shown us, he got his hands on everything in NXT. So I know he did something. And I've watched enough WWE in my life and enough Triple H to know things that were his idea. Like the spot with the knee brace, like I was talking about, that's a Triple H thing. I know it is. That's Triple H thing. Because Triple H was a lover of details like that. That's why they called him the Cerebral Assassin, the way he took body parts out. That's a Triple H thing. Like, a spot in the match at a TakeOver is where Ciampa's finisher on the Indies was the, I've lost it. But it's Powerbomb Backbreaker.
Yeah, I seen him do it at the...
Project Ciampa. It's called Project Ciampa.
Yeah, that's also his Twitter handle too, right? Project Ciampa.
Yes.
I seen him... Didn't he do that off of the top rope to Gargano at TakeOver?
The only reason he did it off the top rope from a structural standpoint, not from a kayfabe standpoint, just from the structure of a match, was to give him an excuse to take off the knee brace.
Gotcha.
Because if you think about it, this is a man who just came back from a very traumatic knee injury. So when he did that move, it's one thing to do it on the ground. Off the top rope gives that much more torque, if you will, or whatever the physics word is you want to use, which, if you look at the match, caused him to take his knee brace off, which led to all the different spots with the knee brace, and of course the final spot, him getting basically a STF with the knee brace that caused him to tap out, right?
Right.
That's Triple H. I'd bet my life on that. That's Triple H.
I dig it. I got one question for you, and I just want a yes or a no. If NXT was not affiliated with WWE, would you consider NXT the best wrestling promotion in the world that you know of?
No.
No? Okay.
Creatively, maybe, but it's I hate to be that guy.
No, I understand. That's all I wanted was just a yes or a no. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just because you're creatively satisfying doesn't mean you're the best company in the world.
Gotcha.
There's a lot of things that have to go into it, other than placating a specific group of fans.
Gotcha. That's what I wanted to know. All right, so Mr. Tommy Entertainment starts off the night. He comes out, he's, you know, like we said earlier, he comes out to Gargano's music. He's talking about Johnny Gargano. Obviously, he's obsessed with him. He says that John... Say what?
Obsessed.
Yeah.
Delusionally so, yes.
He says Johnny may have won the battle, but he will always win the war. He's broken Johnny's mind, spirit, blah, 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 blah. Gargano's wife, Candice LeRae, Candice Wrestling, she comes out to the ring, and a quick little tidbit. I've said on the show... What's up?
Uh-huh. Oh, I was going to add something, too. Go ahead.
I was just going to say Candice LeRae was in my favorite match of all time. There's been a couple of matches that I could call my favorite, but this is for sure my favorite tag team match of all time, and it's the Young Bucks defending the PWG tag team titles against the World's Cutest Tag Team, Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae. It's absolutely phenomenal. They at one point there's a, if I remember right, there, at one point in time there's a bag brought out with tacks. A bag of gummy worms is brought out, and then a shoe with tacks super glued on it is put on, and Candice LeRae is super kicked in the face. She comes back a little bit later in the match, and she's gushing blood. Never seen a female wrestle or bleed that much in a match. Anyway, World's Cutest Tag Team goes over, and Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae are new tag team champions. Just wanted to say that was my favorite tag team match of all time. What was you going to say?
I just wanted to point out more stuff added to the story to make you think of the gravity of the situation. Candice has music. Candice is a wrestler at NXT. She came out with no music.
Yeah, I noticed that. That is something I did notice. I thought that was pretty cool.
And that's to make the crowd think how real this is and how off the cuff and spontaneous this is. She wasn't quote unquote scheduled to come out.
Right. Yeah, I dig that. I dig it. Candice comes out. She questions who Tommy is. She said she used to know who he is, but she doesn't even recognize him anymore. Candice claims that Tommaso is the one that is broken. She said she's done crying for him. He's not the man that she knew. He's a monster. Yada yada yada. He said that he actually says your husband's not half the man that I am. He says something about she used to wear the pants in the relationship, blah, 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 blah. He starts to say what he was thinking about during the wedding. She slaps him. He rolls out of the ring. It was a really cool little segment. What did you think about that little segment that they had?
Tremendous segment, because anybody's wife is going to stick up for their husband, right? Anybody's wife. Your wife will stick up for you if something bad happened to you, right?
Right.
So for both of them to be wrestlers, and for Candice to be as close with Tommaso as Johnny was, and for Candice to be able to be a stand-in for Johnny in these moments where Johnny is having to sell these major injuries, just builds the story up that much more, because all of this is used to get a reaction, right? It's used to tell the story and get a reaction.
Right.
What better reaction can you get than a man's wife begging for somebody to stop hurting him? let alone the dude's former best friend. You know what I mean? Like, I realize that we look at Candace as a wrestler, as she primarily should be looked at, but she's still the dude's wife.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, how evil does it make Tommaso Ciampa look that he's taunting the lady? Not only is he taunting dude's wife, did you see the tweet he tweeted for Mother's Day?
Huh.
Man, this dude is demented, dog. He tweeted at Johnny Gargano's mama. It's just so evil. He's so evil. So, yeah, it's amazing.
I'm gonna have to go look it up. I'm gonna have to go. Maybe I'll go look it up after.
I'm about to send it to you.
I tell you what, just get on the show's Twitter and retweet it. Like, you know, retweet with comment and be like, we're talking about this on the show right now.
Okay.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
For sure. Next, we had Lacey Evans versus Brandi Lauren. I guess Lauren was Ava Story in Ring of Honor and Impact. I read online when I was trying to figure out who she was because I thought she looked familiar, but I didn't know her for sure. They said that she's a good wrestler, but she's pretty inexperienced when it comes to the big spotlight. This match only lasted like a minute and a half, 2 minutes. It was pretty much a squash match for Lacey Evans. Yes. It was, you know, I assume that it was that she's feuding with Kairi Sane because as she was leaving, Kairi Sane takes her to the ring and then was looking for her big, awesome elbow drop that she does from the top rope. Lacey Evans dips out and is able to escape. Kairi Sane's in the middle of the ring. Sane must pose. You know, you ever heard that? Bruce Pritchard talking about how he used to ask Vince, like, "What? Hogan just lost to a heel when the heel used dirty tactics. So why are we ending the pay-per-view with Hulk Hogan posing in the ring?" And he's like, "Ah, dang it, Bruce. Hogan must pose." I just think that's freaking hilarious.
Hey, man, in this match, NXT is notorious for it's still developmental at a certain point. So it's notorious for people who debut or being built up. A lot of times they'll have a finisher that doesn't look the most dangerous, and then they'll build off of it, right?
Right.
So Lacey had a different finisher at one point. I can't remember what it was, but I know it's different. So she hits this beautiful moonsault off the second rope, which is different, right? Most people hit off the top. She hits off the second. Beautifully done. And she finished the match. But she picks her up and hits her with her new finisher, a punch to the face. it's stuff like that. It didn't make any sense to me.
Right. Yeah. That isn't. It's. I don't even really know what to say because I'd have to. Yeah. I don't know. I'm flabbergasted. Big one. Next, we get a video package about last week. Did this happen last week? It did because it's sitting on the screen. Between Ricochet and Velveteen Dream. DREAM. Oh, god dang, I love Velveteen Dream. He is the man.
My favorite wrestler next team.
Really? Okay, cool. We'll have to talk about him sometime. You have to give me a little debrief or a brief on Velveteen Dream sometime on a show.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Video package from last week, apparently they both want a title shot, and so it's just showing like what happened last week and stuff. Aleister Black, NXT champion, is interviewed about both of these guys wanting a title shot. He reminds us, he says that he's already beat Velveteen Dream, and if Ricochet wants to be the one and only, he has to prove it, something to that nature. And then Aleister Black says, "I know, because I'm the champ, I got a target on my back. But when I get in the ring, my opponent is the target," I believe is how he worded it. It was really cool.
Yes.
Aleister Black is phenomenal. I love that dude. I don't know a whole bunch about him, but I do know that a friend of mine recommended the Velveteen Dream Aleister Black match from a while back where Velveteen Dream was just, oh, you were there. Last year's WrestleMania, is that what it was?
It was that TakeOver War Games.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and I guess the whole thing is Velveteen wanted Aleister Black to say his name. He would never say it. Aleister Black eventually beats him and then gets on the mic and says, "What? Do you remember what he said?"
He said, "Enjoy infamy, Velveteen Dream."
Ah, and so awesome.
And yes, it was about saying his name, but it was about respect.
Yeah, yeah. I know I didn't give it justice, but you know, I didn't watch the build up to that, so I didn't want to.
That is one of the.
I didn't want to lie. I didn't want to lie and be. You know what I mean? I just, from my point, I just gave the from my point of view, since I didn't. I regrettably have not watched the build up to that match yet.
That match had one of the best builds you've probably seen in years, because it was so different and it was so refreshing and it was so honest. There's a spot where so Aleister Black was coming out for a match, and Dream was doing everything he could to get this man's attention. Aleister wouldn't look at him. He would come in and attack the dude he was wrestling, hit him with his finisher, thrust in his face, and Aleister would not look at him. So there's one spot where Aleister's coming out to the ring, and you know, when he comes out to the ring, is dark, full of smoke, and when he does his entrance, he stops right before the ring, kind of where Triple H stops, and looks at the crowd, and the way the camera is angled, it's like he's kind of like halfway, he's like on the left of the shot, and from the ground up, out of the smoke, stands Velveteen Dream behind him and starts attacking him. And it's just one of the best shots that they've done in a long time.
That's freaking awesome.
Was tremendous. And then, just again, little small things. When Dream came out for the match, by the way, that was Dream's first takeover match, by the way. His tights were like Rick Rude's tights, spray painted with Dream's face on one side and Aleister's face on the other. Yeah, man. I could talk about NXT all day, bro.
That's I've got to watch that build up, man. Because that, you know, like I said, I just explained the portion that I know about it, and I did not give it justice at all. So I need to go back and watch that stuff. But next up, we had Dakota Kai. Is that how you pronounce the last name, Kai?
Yes.
Dakota Kai is being interviewed, I guess, outside the Performance Center. Which, by the way, sidebar. I absolutely love how, for the most part, they treat NXT as if it's a major league sport. You have Aleister Black's getting caught up by paparazzi while he's walking around in street clothes. Dakota Kai is basically outside the stadium, in quotations, or their training center, and is being interviewed.
It's outside for Full Sail. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what. But still, you get my point.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
And you know, it's like paparazzi asking her different questions about the upcoming opponent she has, about other people in NXT. Just really cool stuff, man. She's asked about Shayna Baszler and Nikki Cross.
Do you know the Shayna Baszler? Do you know the issue with her and Shayna Baszler? Because I know you don't watch.
No, I do not.
To give you just a quick synopsis of it, and because it's relevant, because you understand why she's responding the way she's responding in this segment.
Right on.
Her and Shayna wrestled a match, and Shayna, quote unquote, broke Dakota Kai's arm just for fun.
Oh wow!
And then and then there was a couple of videos where they showed Shayna like choking out Dakota Kai in practice at the Performance Center. So Dakota Kai is at this point is terrified of Shayna. Like it's like real life bully stuff. Like Shayna walks up to her now and just stands over her. She's like, "Do something, do something." Like Dakota Kai is shaking and looking down and terrified. So they keep asking her, "Well, why are you so scared of Shayna?" She's like, "I don't know. Stop asking me." And then that's why Nikki Cross came out.
Wow, I dig it. Nikki Cross is, dude, she's a crazy character.
Crazy.
I love it. So basically, you pretty much touched on, you know, they asked her about these women. Nikki Cross comes out. She talks to him. She talks to Dakota Kai and kind of scares her for a little bit. We cut back to inside the arena where Ricochet and Velveteen Dream are going one-on-one.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
What's the matter?
Talk about great 5-minute matches. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they didn't get long. It was like 4 or 5 minutes, but... dude, it's freaking awesome. You know, some chain wrestling going on. They fit a lot into the 4 minutes that they had or so. Do you want to explain who Lars Sullivan is and why might he have broke up this match so early in it?
Sure. And first, let me say about their match. Ricochet is well known around the world as one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Absolutely, bar none.
Right. It's completely accepted all over the world. The fact that they did that whole match is for two reasons. Three reasons. Number one, to wet the palate, because they're going to wrestle TakeOver. That's number one. Number two, of course, for Lars to come in and do what he did, which I'll explain here in a second. But number three, to make Velveteen Dream, a kid who came off of Tough Enough, right? A kid who's as homegrown as could be possible, they wanted to make him look like the equal of Ricochet. Much like with Aleister Black, it's two sides of the same coin. And that's tremendous to me. But anyway, they had a great match. Lars Sullivan comes out and attacks them both. Lars Sullivan is, his nickname is The Freak. Lars Sullivan is this tremendously large, menacing looking guy who's awkwardly built and looks like, they call him The Freak because he looks like a science experiment. You know what I mean?
Right.
And has this crazy horrible lisp and is missing a tooth and has a weird shaped beard and just everything about him is weird. But he's large and he's dangerous. And as his gimmick goes, he's not just your typical monster in wrestling. He says that he has like a PhD mind or something like that. But Lars wants the title. And the whole reason Dream and Ricochet had their feud because they wanted to see what's better, because they both want the title too. So this was Lars's way of getting everybody's attention to say, I deserve a title shot more than you guys.
I dig it. Do you agree with that? We're talking in kayfabe terms right now, out of the three, who actually deserves the title shot?
Lars.
Okay.
If we're being kayfabe and we're not taking favors into account.
Right, yeah, Lars, just straight kayfabe. Like if you're NXT president, you know what I mean? If you're J.J. Dillon circa WCW 1998.
Sure. William Regal.
Right. Oh yeah, I forgot. See, that's how much I got to catch up on. I forget. I can't just reference William Regal being the general manager or commissioner because I just don't watch it enough like I should.
Sure. I don't think Lars has lost a one-on-one match in NXT.
Oh well.
So, you know, he's definitely deserving.
Yeah.
He's not the prototypical favorite guy people want to see fight for the title, but he's definitely deserving.
I dig it. I absolutely dig it. So, obviously this match ends in a DQ. We go on to the next match, which is Kona Reeves versus Raul Mendoza. Is that correct? So,
let me explain Kona Reeves.
Let's do it. Let's hear it.
Real quick. Like I said, NXT is developmental.
Yeah, right.
So one thing NXT does is they'll throw a guy out there in just regular matches and let him wrestle and let the crowd know who he is. They did that for Jason Jordan for a long time. They did that for Angelo Dawkins, who's one half of the Street Profits now. They did that for Ty Dillinger for a long time. And they'll do that. And just kind of let them, because of course they got to fill time and have matches and somebody needs to lose. But they're doing that to let the crowd know who they are. And hopefully they're building their whatever gimmick they're going to use to re-debut with. Excuse me. Kona Reeves had wrestled on NXT for a while now. He didn't win, but you know, he had been there for a while and he had changed gimmicks like twice. So he had finally re-debuted, I think it was if not last week, 2 weeks ago, with this new gimmick as The Finest. And it's basically that he's better than everybody because he wears the finest clothes and he has the finest life and the finest this and the finest that, so on and so forth. And Kona Reeves is Hawaiian. So that's why he has a different look and, you know, and all this. And his finishing move is called the Hawaiian Drop, which is a reverse Samoan drop and all these things. And by the way, I think it's on purpose. It's not just, it's ironic, but it's purposely ironic that he thinks he's the finest, but he's not good looking and he's very awkward and all this. He's on purpose. But that's Conor Reeves. And this is only his second match as this new character.
What was he before?
He was Conor Reeves. Just regular guy Conor Reeves or Hawaiian guy Conor Reeves, you know?
Gotcha.
But now he's been redebuted with a actual gimmick that NXT is pushing. Like, don't be surprised if in... So what we have, TakeOver Chicago is coming up. TakeOver Brooklyn after that. Don't be surprised if he's wrestling on a TakeOver card Survivor Series weekend.
I dig it.
How NXT has a formula that's worked for them.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
It's definitely not broke.
Right, absolutely.
Not hits.
Absolutely. So Kona attacks the arm of Mendoza. Mendoza fires back. They have a pretty decent little match here. It only lasted like 5 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes. Again, another short match. Kona defeated Mendoza by pin. Yes, I was going to ask, is this typical for the weekly one-hour NXT show of just having a couple, two, three, four, or five-minute matches and then a decent length main event?
Absolutely, because it's still developmental and they're still building characters. So, like I said, Conor Reeves is a brand-new character. So he has to be established in the eyes of the crowd. And by the way, this was a rematch because Kona's debut, which was either a week or 2 weeks ago, I can't remember the exact date, he fought Raul Mendoza then too. So this was a rematch of that match. And the first match, Kona just basically just beat him up.
Gotcha.
This match, Raul had some more fire, which made Kona actually have to show, I got some with me now. Which is why this match looked better than because the first match just was everything about it. The match was bad. The music was bad. The package wasn't working. This match, it's tremendously better. It's not where it needs to be. As NXT, that's what it's for.
Right.
You know, to get it where it needs to be. But yes, that's the formula for most, which is why a lot of casual people who love the takeovers and don't miss a takeover don't watch NXT Weekly, because NXT Weekly is truly, truly like an old school indie show.
Gotcha.
We're gonna have a couple of squash matches. Might have one match before the main event that's not a squash that lasts maybe 10 minutes, and then you have a fire main event.
Okay.
That's the formula.
Got it. They cut backstage after the match, and Velveteen Dream and Ricochet Ricochet seen first going into William Regal's office. Velveteen Dream meets him there, and he's like, "What are you doing here?" Dude, Velveteen Dream is big. That's a big boy.
He's like 6'4", yeah.
But you see that bi-tri combo on that arm, bro?
Well, he's always... I mean, I know you didn't watch Tough Enough when he was on it, but when he was on Tough Enough, he was 19 years old.
Right.
Like, the kid has been ripped since he was in high school.
I dig it.
Kid's ripped, yeah.
I dig it. Explain to me who TM61 is.
TM61 was one of the most successful non-WWE tag teams in the world. They're Australian. So they used to be called TMDK or the Mighty Don't Kneel. They called themselves TM61 when they signed to NXT to stand for the Mighty, and 61 is their area code in Australia. So when they started, they were pretty much generic baby faces, and they're really good wrestlers, and the guy who wears orange, Shane Thorne, is a daredevil high flyer and just has amazingly tremendous spots, and the guy in blue, Nick Miller, is extremely solid, kind of Matt Hardy-esque from like back in the days, and he's really solid and he can fly, but he's more of the brawler and the technical guy and the power guy, and they're a really good tag team. Well, they just weren't getting any traction because, you know, they were regular generic babyface number two.
Gotcha.
And they were fairly successful, but they didn't do a lot. Shane Thorne tore his ACL, they missed a whole lot of time, and when they came back, they had these vignettes about who they are, and they were really funny and really introspective and made you care about them, and they still lost. So recently, they've realized, well, man, I'm tired of losing. We call ourselves the mighty. How are we the mighty if we keep losing? So we're going to do what it takes to win. So they've kind of turned heel and become really douchebaggy. Really douchebaggy. And you don't want to judge the book by its cover, but that's basically what you do in wrestling, is judge the book by its cover. Those guys, you can kind of make your mind to accept that they kind of look douchebaggy. So, but they're getting some traction because they're winning now.
I dig it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a lot to learn. I was just thinking about, man, I don't know near as much as I should for NXT.
Sure.
Anyway, that brings us to the main event, which is Pete Dunne. Tell me Pete Dunne's two tag team partners. One of them was Danny Burch.
Danny Burch.
And the other one was
Oney Lorcan. Okay. Oney Lorcan. Oney Lorcan's name on the indies was Biff Busick, and Danny Burch's name, somebody got to remind me. I know I Googled it, but it was something else on the indies. Danny Burch is British, and Danny Burch actually was signed to NXT a few years ago, and he had kind of a soccer hooligan gimmick. But Burch and Lorcan are legit, and Oney Lorcan's from Boston. They're legitimately two of the toughest human beings walking this earth.
Gotcha. That's cool.
And they started tagging. Oney's been with NXT for about two or three years now. He's been there for a while, just never really got a lot of traction because he's a no-nonsense type of character. He's not really a talker or stuff like that. But Oney had a match with Danny Burch that was really, really good and really brutal and hard-hitting. They had like a slap-off for like a minute. And it's really brutal.
Oof.
And Oney won. And Danny Burch said, you know what, man? This was a great match. I respect you. But you know what? Let's do it again. The second match, Danny Burch won. After that match, they both agreed, man, look, we would really be good as a tag team. And they've been a tag team ever since.
I dig it.
Yeah, and Danny Burch just recently got signed full time, so shout out to him. Because he's getting that real money now.
Getting that paycheck, getting that guarantee.
So the Undisputed Era, or the bullies of the block, essentially, had attacked Oney and Burch a couple of times, and of course we already know Undisputed Era's history with Pete Dunne. So last week or 2 weeks ago, one of the two, I can't remember, they're both running together, excuse me, Oney and Burch, and mind you, Burch and Pete Dunne have history because they're both British. Pete Dunne's walking in the performance center, or right at Full Sail, one of the two, and he sees those guys and they stop him, and Burch is like, look, you know you're like a piece of trash and you're a douchebag and you're terrible, right? Pete Dunne's like, yeah, I know. He's like, but look, you got problems with Undisputed Era. We got problems with Undisputed Era. So how about you tag with us and we handle all our problems in the same match? And Pete's like, okay. But I just love how he was like, you're a piece of trash. You're a terrible person, you know, and you know that. And Pete does like, yeah, you're right.
What? Yeah. I dig it. For the main event, we have Pete Dunne and, how did you say Oney's name?
Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch.
And Danny Burch versus the Undisputed Era, which is Adam Cole, baby!
Baby.
And yep. Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly. And
who
I just
might be the most entertaining man at NXT, for the record.
Kyle O'Reilly
is amazing right now.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He, you know, he's extremely talented. I do know, now, I got to preface this with, we've talked about this on the show. I do watch a lot of stuff online about the Undisputed Era. You know that I'm a huge Undisputed Era fan.
Yes.
They are my favorite stable in all of wrestling besides the Aero Club, which is a heel stable in World Class Revolution. You know, they wrestle for World Class Revolution. They're on the indie scene, so they wrestle a lot of different places in the South, but they are my favorite heel stable. And I'm not, and me and you have talked about this candidly off air, Like, I'm not just saying that because I've gotten an interview from one of the guys. I got another one coming up. I've interviewed Coyote. I'm going to interview Hawk. And I've called a bunch of Desi Dorada's matches. That's not that has no bearing on them being my favorite heel stable. Like, I legit just – I love these guys. I'll give you an example, a quick example. I might have told you this one before. But, you know, Desi Dorada, there's two men – in Aero Club, there's two men and one female. And yes. We were in Quinlan, Texas at a show. It was a pretty hot crowd. There was a couple hundred people there, I believe. And Desi Dorada is a real good-looking girl. And they all three come out in solid black leather jackets. And I think Desi comes out in a T-shirt as well. So whenever she gets into the ring, because she's doing a one-on-one match, and Hawk and Coyote are in the outside, She gets in the ring, she takes off her jacket, and then takes off her shirt. And you hear one lone guy in the back go, "Woo!" And Hawk turns around and says, "Shut up, pervert." Oh my God, bro. Not only did I bust up laughing, but I've never seen someone so embarrassed at a wrestling match. Ever. That guy was so embarrassed, and that turned into heat because he got angry because Hawk embarrassed him in public, right? Mm-hmm. Later on in the match, multiple people started throwing trash. They were pelted with trash. Hawk ended up picking up some trash, trying to throw it back, and then just crazy. One of them got hit in the face with a bracelet. Someone took off their bracelet and threw it at these guys. Like they are. Yeah, man, they're getting some true heat. I think they're going to go real far in this business. They're all young. So anyway, I just wanted to – I will always give those guys a cheap plug. Or not a cheap plug, yeah. A plug. You know what I mean? I know I give World Class Revolution plugs because, they employ me, and I truly believe in what we are doing with World Class Revolution and going on TV and stuff. But when it comes to wrestlers that – are, working hard to make a living and to make it in this business, I will plug those people all day, every day. Does that make sense?
Perfect sense.
Sweet, sweet. But anyway, so the whole reason I said that was to say that, Undisputed Era is my second favorite stable in all of wrestling. I freaking love these guys. And like you said with Kyle O'Reilly, he's so entertaining. He kind of reminds me, because, he's so talented in wrestling and MMA. But sometimes he's, and I know this is on purpose, he sometimes seems like he gets off balance and he's kind of awkward, kind of like Velveteen Dream. Am I just making that up, or is that something that does? Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't making that up.
I have affectionately called him Gollum. Because if you watch the way Gollum moves,
right,
when Kyle O'Reilly walks behind the curtain, and he kind of like sumo walks around, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
But the thing about Kyle O'Reilly is, Kyle O'Reilly, and I mean with all the love and respect in the world, because I've grown to love this dude, was one of the most boring people in the world when he was in Ring of Honor.
Really?
He was just wrestle. And he is now, he's still one of the best in the company, but he has just allowed himself to just completely be an idiot and just have a blast and just do the most ridiculous, just the way he plays air guitar with his belt, his faces in promos, how he just the things he does when he gets beats up. There's a video going around the internet on Twitter a couple of weeks ago, like a 3-minute clip of just funny things that he does. Like one time, one match, he took a German suplex from, I want to say it was Alexander Wolf, and he no-sold it, got up and flexed and screamed, and then just fell out of the ring. Just like, he's just become so entertaining. So shout out to Kyle O'Reilly, man.
I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. So, as we know that Pete Dunne and Undisputed Era got some serious business going on, dating back to, what takeover was that? Was that Takeover New Orleans?
Yeah.
Where they were in a, it was a three-way tag team match, right? And Pete Dunne, Roderick Strong were teammates, and as Pete Dunne is getting the three count on Kyle O'Reilly, he kicks him in the head. He performs that suplex backbreaker. Does he have a name for that?
The end of heartache.
The end of heartache. Pulls Kyle O'Reilly on top of him, and they retain the titles. He officially joined Undisputed Era. It was another one of my favorite tag team matches of all time. Like, I, you know, come to think of it, I don't know why. You know, the only reason that I have for not watching NXT is simply because of my internet. Because anytime I've watched NXT, it's been freaking phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, so Roderick Strong is in the ring to start off the match. He calls for Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne gets tagged in, and then Roderick Strong does the heel thing and goes over and tags in Kyle O'Reilly.
Gotta make him wait, baby. That's my next
one. If you will.
If you will.
Anyway, I don't think I need to run down the match. If you haven't seen it, you need to go watch it. It was a great little match. Great match that they had going on. Pete Dunne, Oney Lorcan. I gotta remember that name. Oney Lorcan. Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch defeat the Undisputed Era by pin. I was gonna read what 411 Mania said about the match before we go.
Go ahead.
411 Mania gave it 3.5 stars, and they said Burch picking up the win here was huge and needed. It would have been easy to give Dunne the star, the win, but they played it smartly here. This was a very good, hard-hitting match with good pacing and a sense of urgency. I love that Lorcan and Burch are being elevated, at least for now. So, you know, high praise from 411 Mania. We're not affiliated with 411 Mania. I just like to read Larry Zonka, I think is his name, that does all these reviews. I always like to read his reviews about certain things, and just wanted to read that little bit about it. But
real quick.
Yeah, go for it, man.
The beauty of Lorcan and Burch winning is that they've lost so much so recently that them finally getting a clean win over the tag champs makes you believe, because they're clearly getting set up for a tag title match at some time. Whether it's in Chicago or sometime in the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Gotcha.
But now, they're believable.
I dig it.
They've always been great in the ring. They've always been tough. They've always been on the cusp. But now they're there.
Right.
And now you believe these guys can beat these guys.
Yeah.
And so that's like they said, they could easily be done with the match because he's the star. But Lorcan and Burch have been built up now.
I dig it. I dig it, man. And that's it. That's it for today's show. We hope everyone enjoys the weekend. I had a blast in reviewing NXT. I had a lot of fun talking about Tommaso Ciampa today, getting all the insight from you, learning about the little things that most people don't realize that you really have to be looking for, you know, like the camo pants, for instance, coming out to Gargano's music, which is a remake or kind of a play on their old DIY music, just little stuff like that I'll be definitely watching out for from now on. And we got to talk about World Class Revolution and the TV, our first TV taping since signing our TV deal with the NBC affiliate in Joplin, Missouri.
Big deal, man.
Be on the lookout for us on TV if you're in that area, and come check us out if you're in Arkansas. We're in El Dorado, Arkansas tomorrow night at the Griffin Music Hall for our first TV taping since signing the TV deal. So come check us out. I'll be there. Only $35 per autograph. So cash only. Yeah, right. All right. but yeah, for real, check it out. And I just want to say congratulations to all the World Class Revolution guys on this TV deal. Y'all deserve it. I've seen y'all's work, y'all's butts off in the ring. And for us that don't work in the ring, that work outside the ring, you guys have worked so hard and phenomenally well together as well. So congrats to everyone about that. Ray, I just want to say again, like I say every day, I appreciate you being on this journey with me. Love doing the show with you. Can't imagine doing it with anybody else. You got anything to say before we take off, my man?
Appreciate you, man. Yeah, just follow us on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Check out the columns. Check out everything we're doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure. Don't forget to check out Ray's column at the Chair Shot. Or on thechairshot.com. You can follow us at It's Ray Cash, at Fox the Podcaster, at World Class Daily. And until Monday, unless I see you in El Dorado tomorrow night, stay strong and too sweet. David Arquette won the world title.